Welcome to Truthverse, a podcast for awakening minds who want to go deep. If you're vibing with the show, please do hit the like and subscribe buttons. And if you could take a few seconds to leave me a review on Apple or Spotify, it's actually super helpful for ranking the show up and getting my work out to more people. And remember, when you do, take a screenshot and send it to me on Instagram for a free thank you gift. For other ways you can support me, check out the show notes. I've listed ways you can do that there. Stay cool. All right, ladies and gents, welcome to this episode of Truthverse. I am joined by Petra Liverani, who is a fellow Substack author. She's on there doing a thing with primarily, it seems, psyops. She's heavily focused on psyops and dismantling them, demystifying them, educating the public around what they are, what they look like, how they work, and the methodology associated there. So I'm going to let Petra, she's a fellow Aussie, she's in Sydney, where I grew up, and I'm going to bring Petra in and let her give her own self-introduction, tell us a bit about herself and a little bit of about her background as well. So Petra, thanks for being here. And can you fill us in a little bit about what it is that you do? What's your focus? And, you know, how did you get here in the first place?
Well, okay. Thanks, Brendan. I grew up in Wollongong and my mother was Scottish and my father was Italian. And they were both pretty skeptical people. And my father's catch cries when I was growing up were propaganda and any event that happened bad around the world, a coup of a government or in South America, he'd always say it was the CIA, as if, well, of course it was the CIA and you'd have to be an idiot to think otherwise. And I didn't pay much attention, but I always grew up thinking that you have to think for yourself and you can't trust what the authorities tell you necessarily. Not that you disbelieve them automatically or have zero respect, but just treat everything, think for yourself, basically.
Yeah.
And I had no idea really until 2014 when I was 53, about 53, I watched the film JFK to 9/11, Everything is a Rich Man's Trick. And that started my journey. You know, first I looked at 9/11, then I looked at Sandy Hook and, you know, other events, because there were a lot of events around that time too. There were a lot of events, and also YouTube was not censored at that time. And so there were all these YouTubers doing their analyses, and some of them were very amusing. There were quite a few people out of Melbourne, actually. There was a guy called Anaconda Malt Liquor, Anaconda Malt Liquor, and another guy, I'm forgetting his name, he used to match the music to the video really, really well. And very sadly, that guy, Woodrow Wobbles, he called himself, he died, but all their videos disappeared. And I think they're on Discord now. I think that, you know, but they're just not the same as in those, like 2014 to 2017 was kind of the heyday of these videos. And there were all these events like the Manchester bombing and Westminster Bridge and London Bridge. And I think Charlie Hebdo was around that time. There were a number of events then, but there's still lots of events, but it's just not the same.
Yeah. Okay. So that was where you kind of really dove into the deep end of psyops and, you know, what they look like, how they operate.
Yeah. But I mean, I've learned so much since watching. I mean, I do wonder sometimes if the filmmaker is controlled opposition, because there's certain, you know, he didn't really get 9/11 and JFK completely right. And he didn't mention revelation of the method, which I learned 2 years later from Ola Damegaard, another analyst, which is a very significant thing. So, and I mean, I've been studying 9/11 for 10 years and I learned something very new about it only 2 weeks ago, which was all out there by other people. Like, so Clues Forum is really info, which is run by Simon Shack. They're probably the biggest experts on 9/11, but they have a forum style. So somebody will put a post and then, you know, there's pages and pages of sort of in the thread. So it's not like reading an article where it's all laid out. But I don't know why it took me so long to really work out 9/11 when I knew about Clues Forum, you know, a long time ago. And yeah, it just took me a long time to really wake up to the whole truth. Oh, well, I don't even know, like there's more to it, but
Yeah. I mean, we never really quite have the whole truth, do we?
but I mean, the sort of fundo, I thought, I'll talk about, will I talk about 9/11? I'll just talk about 9/11. So in 2014, it took about 2 months after watching the film to work out that it wasn't 19 terrorists, and then because, it just seemed so shocking. It seemed so shocking that the US government would leave those poor people in buildings. And so it took a couple of months to work it out. And then about 2 years later, I came across Clues Forum, and they said that the people didn't die, or they had, they had a VICSIM report. They had a simulated victims report of quite a few people who were made up victims. And at that time, I thought, well, okay, I can see that they're fake deaths. The planes were obviously fake. The passenger airliners were faked. I mean, it could be that they had something flying around the World Trade Center, because I know someone who was there and he said he saw a plane. But the passenger airliners obviously didn't crash into the buildings. And actually, another Australian, Gerard Holmgren, who's the brother of David Holmgren, who's one of the co-originators of permaculture, he was a good analyst in relation to the planes. He looked up the Bureau of Transportation statistics to see that the planes hadn't even, a couple of them hadn't taken off, because they had all the statistics about the, so he'd done quite a lot of work on that. Anyway, so the planes didn't crash. So I knew that obviously some deaths were faked, but I was under the, still in the thrall of some of the propaganda that there were loved ones of people such as Bob McIlvaine and the Jersey Widows and April Gallop. And these people were sort of jumping up and down and getting angry about what happened. And there was also a film that talked about how certain people were targeted in buildings, that they were wanted killed and all this. So I was in sort of, some of it's fake, some of it's. And then in about 2018, I just had an epiphany. I was watching a video about a janitor in the North Tower, William Rodriguez, and it was saying how he had rescued hundreds of people from the North Tower. But also that he was given, yes, he and he was given awards for that, but also that he had heard explosions in the building, which was incriminating to the government. And suddenly it clicked. Oh, there's a double propaganda campaign going on here. They've targeted the, they know that 10% or so won't believe their story. And they have targeted that 10% who aren't going to believe their story with special propaganda to make them to keep their belief in the death and injury. So they're getting s different propaganda. The loved ones who are jumping up and down, and Israel being involved. Because I remember when I read about, there were five dancing Israelis. They called them the five dancing Israelis, and they were caught. There were, Israelis supposedly excited when the buildings filmed, watching the buildings come down, and they were caught in a white van with explosive dusts. And I thought, oh, Israel did it. I mean, they got outsiders. They didn't get US citizens to do the dastardly deed of killing those poor people. They got Israeli, outsiders, Israeli citizens, and but of course that is so ridiculous, like as if they've got a roadblock set up to catch people, with explosive dust in their van. So, and then I realized, well, it's a demolition job. And they told us that I Controlled Demolition Inc. was the company who was eight, eight da nine days, oh, sorry, 11 days after 9/11 presented the cleanup plan for the World Trade Center, and CDI achieved three world records in large building demolition projects in the 3 years before 9/11, two in 1998 and one in 2000. So I think that CDI had a lot to do with the demolitions at the World Trade Center. And we also can see that they are involved in the propaganda to say that it was thermite, because what they've done for the buildings is they've pushed out multiple streams of propaganda to say different methods were used to bring the buildings down. So there's thermite, nanothermite, there's nukes, there's directed energy weapons, and just plain old controlled demolition with explosives, as well as, of course, the fire one for the believers of the story. So there's four methods for the disbelievers, and they've pushed out different propaganda for all those different methods, including controlled demolition. Even though I think it is controlled demolition, they still pushed out propaganda for it as well, because propaganda can actually be truth. It can be the truth, but it's like a lie, because it can be something that they focus you on when there's something else that's more important. And there's a quote from Orwell, propaganda is lies, even when one is telling the truth. So, for example, with the reporters, they have the reporters alluding to controlled demolition. And one of them, Brian Williams, says to an emergency responder, he says, "Can you confirm it was number seven that just went in?" Well, to go in is an industry term for buildings to come down, to fall in on themselves, because they fall in on themselves, they use the term to go in. Now, Brian Williams would not have used that naturally, right? He was scripted to say that. So those journalists referring to controlled demolition, they were scripted, and it's propaganda directed to the anticipated disbelievers to go, "Hey, look, even the journalists were saying it was controlled demolition." The thing is, the journalists couldn't be saying that they saw fire. It was, because then the people who disbelieve the story are going to think, "Oh, the journalists were scripted to say fire. They're in on it." So they didn't say fire. I mean, some of them might have, but what we see on YouTube now is journalists referring to, controlled demolition because they're scripted. No way would they have been saying controlled demolition normally, because people get a sense of the taboo immediately. If they're saying controlled demolition, that's obviously going to be incriminating to the government. But journalists wouldn't do that because they would have a sense that that would be incriminating the wrong people.
And they might never work again.
So they wanted to hide the fact that lots of people were in on 9/11. Okay. Lots of the journalists were in on 9/11. Brian Williams is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, right? Anyone, Cynthia McFadden, there's a lot of journalists who are in the Council on Foreign Relations, and
Well, yeah, and we know that there were people who were warned, forewarned, don't go to work this day, all that kind of stuff. So obviously there was definitely a network of people who
that's
were
propaganda.
okay. Well, let's talk about why that's propaganda, because that fits the narrative that you're sharing as well at the same time. So it's this truth and lies kind of weird dynamic. Let's pull that apart a little bit, because we had this circulating, right? Don't go to work. There's going to be an event, blah, blah, blah. This is more propaganda. And then I wanted to ask you if we can hold that thought for a second. When we're talking about the controlled demolition side of it, the buildings being brought down by demolition, which you're saying you think is what happened. The obvious question is, well, okay, so what is the purpose that that serves? If they're telling us what actually happened through their, propaganda outlets and networks, why do they do that? Why do they give us something accurate?
But this is only aimed, that propaganda is only aimed at the people they know will disbelieve the story, because they want it to look like journalists are speaking candidly. And if they were talking about fire, if we're talking, to the disbelief, if the disbelievers saw that journalists were saying, "Hey, yeah, fire brought the buildings down, fire brought the buildings down," they're going to think, well, the journalists were scripted and the journalists are in on it. They don't want us to think journalists are in on it. Because afterwards, right, when people were questioned, like when Dan Rather was questioned, they just say, they just don't say anything. So they're not, there's controlled operatives who are dissidents, but no, these journalists, they want them to look as though they're speaking candidly. And they're not in on it. They're not in on it. If they were speaking about fire, then they would look like they were scripted to say fire and be in on it. They don't want journalists to look like they're in on it because they want it to just to seem like it's, this is to the disbelievers, right? That it's just these few people at the top that are responsible and know about it. And there's very few others that know about it, right? That are in on it. But there were hundreds of people in on 9/11, hundreds of people, because it wasn't what it seemed to be. It wasn't, they didn't kill people. They didn't kill people because it was just basically a big exercise comprising lots of smaller exercises and drills. And some of them started before 9/11. So that gave them the opportunity down at the World Trade Center to cordon off certain areas, even before, like the day before, they cordoned off areas, and so they had lots of drills. They had drills in the subway, and I mean, I don't know exactly what they did, but one can infer that they evacuated the whole of the World Trade Center, and they, because it's a like the thing is, there's the big difference between 9/11 and COVID is that you can propagandize thousands of health professionals, propagandize and coerce thousands of health professionals to inject people with toxic substances on the basis of 200 years of propaganda, medical fraudulence, the notion that vaccines are safe and effective. So you can do that, but you can't propagandize demolition professionals to leave people behind in buildings for for a terror story, right? That's not a thing, right? You can't say, "Hey, we only want people to believe in the deaths." I mean, it's just a terror story. It's not, they don't want to kill people. They want to kill people now, obviously, but they didn't want to kill people then. So my rule of thumb is if they tell you people have died, they haven't. And if they tell you they're saving people, they're killing them. I mean, that's, a gross, generalization, but, it's kind of true, right?
Things are usually, the 180 degree opposite of what they say.
That's
Usually.
right.
Like, well, there's this new, virus on the loose. Well, no, there's not.
So when I realized that they didn't kill people or injure them, or when I had that epiphany, actually, when I had the epiphany, I had an incredibly visceral sense of being a dumb bull in the dark, being yanked by the nose, by the bull, by the nose ring this way and then that way. It was a really visceral sense of being a dumb bull. But then I laughed and I thought, "Oh, that's so clever. They've got these two, the believers and the disbelievers separately, but both of them to make them believe in the real death and injury." And then I realized after that, I thought, okay, so in PSYOPs, They do what they want for real and they fake the rest because that's what a psyop is. It's about making you believe things that aren't true. So they're never going to do something for real unless they want it for real because they want to dupe you. I mean, the way it works is it's got to work on dupery. That's really important. And so when I've tried to tell people that they didn't kill people, they say, oh, they wouldn't care about the people, about killing them. And I'm kind of like, yeah, well, I never said they did, no one's saying they cared about the people. We're just saying they didn't kill them because they, other reasons. And they say that they would have killed them for greater impact. No, that isn't how propaganda works. It's like a horror story, a horror movie. You watch a horror movie, that works, that terrifies you. Doesn't have to be real. I think they actually, there's something different when they fool you. There's something different in the psychological impact when it's not real. There's something different about it that they prefer, and they certainly don't need it. And so the two things about killing people in these operations, apart from COVID, where they actually are deliberately doing it, they want to do it, is
With the injections, I assume
with the injections and the other measures, the remdesivir and all those things during the isolation everything.
the intubation on the, in hospital beds and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, that's right. So with 9/11, so most of the time with these events, killing people, they don't want to do it because they only want you to believe it. But also, killing people for real is not practicable. It's not practicable in these kinds of events, and especially 9/11, because you've got a demo, because you've got to involve people. You've got to involve emergency responders, police. You've got to involve these people, and you have to, and crisis actors. You have all these crisis actors, so you've got to be able to, and they do them all the time, right? So you've got to be able to tell people, hey, we don't kill people. You've got to reassure them that no one's getting killed. So it's just impractical people, and they don't want to do things. They want to dupe you. That is what they love, to dupe you. So yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want you to pull on that thread or just continue that thought because I agree with you completely on that. There's something, particularly when you're dealing with like the satanic networks, there seems to be this theme of they really enjoy putting one over on the clueless masses and having a laugh at their expense kind of thing.
Yep, the clueless masses and the people who don't believe them. They love to fool them as well.
Yeah, of course.
Because they want to fool all of us, not just the masses, the people who don't believe them as well. I mean, they treat us all as a mass, right? So whoever we are, whether we believe them or we don't believe them, we're the masses, right? And they target us differently. So after I worked out nine, that I got the truth that, that nobody died. Oh, another person that was saying that is Fakeologist. Fakeologist is another website, fakeologist.com. So cluesforum.info and fakeologist.com, they worked it all out years before I even got there. Like around 2009, they worked all this out, and for some reason, I didn't get there till much later, and then other people have never gotten there. They're still not there, Anyway, so then I thought, after 9/11, I thought, okay, well, those other events that are, hinted at as being false flags, maybe the same thing happened with them. So Pearl Harbor, the Bologna station bombing in 1980, I don't know if you remember that, but because my father was Italian, I sort of remembered that, So there was a bombing at Bologna station. There were a lot of bombings in Italy actually around that time. It was called the period of tension, and It was the Operation Gladio, and there were a lot of Americans in the US, I think, at that time, you know. And so Operation Gladio, the anthrax attacks after 9/11. And so I looked at all those three, and Pearl Harbor was very much a faked event as well. You know, I mean, you know, because all you have to do is the first thing you do is you go and look at the injured, the alleged injured, and you can see that they're all got silly little bandages. There's nothing wrong with them. I mean, you know, for 9/11, if people were injured by the destructions of 110-story buildings, they're going to be maimed. They're going to have serious injury, but they're not. They've just got bandages. And also they have the revelation of method. They show you someone who was supposedly burnt and he's got vitiligo. Like, you know, he's got vitiligo, you know. So, oh, and they show you Cynthia McFadden is a, you know, a reporter who was, who's either she or her husband is in the count, you know, her husband's in the Council of Foreign Relations. Don't know if she is, but she's outside the hospital in the morning saying, oh, there's no injured coming in. There's nobody coming into the hospital. And then in the evening, she's outside the trauma center that's been set up in West Manhattan. And she's saying, oh, there's empty ambulances coming through. So, you know, you look at the hospital information, you look at the injured, and you can see that there's nothing really wrong with them. So, you know, immediately, you know. And so, yes, so I realized, well, false flag, the term false flag tends to imply that the crime as stated is committed, but it's the people who did it are different. That's what it tends to imply. I mean, people use false flag for different events. Like they'll say false flag for Sandy Hook, whereas nobody thinks for Sandy Hook that anybody died, really, that doesn't believe the story. You know, people who don't believe the Sandy Hook story don't think, oh, well, the government killed the little kids. They just think it was a complete fake, but they still call it a false flag. But generally speaking, that term false flag has this sense of the crime is committed, but by different, you know, by the people who are making the accusations, not the people who are accused. Whereas it's all psyops. You know, there's no such thing as a false flag where the actual crime is committed as stated. Like in 9/11, yes, they brought the buildings down, but they didn't kill the people. And so I avoid that term, false flag, now. I don't use it. I think it's best to avoid it. I think it's best to think of a psyop as a psyop. I mean, you know, for COVID, you could genuinely say the crime is committed, but it's not committed as stated. You know what I mean? Like they're killing people, but not as stated, you know?
So if I can jump in, like let's go back because before we started, you know, officially recording, we were talking about propaganda and mind control and the different personality profiles and the way that they have the population segmented into different personality camps and that they cater, if you like, to those different groups with different streams of propaganda. And I'd like to come back to that to pull on those threads a little more because we've touched on it a little bit, but I mean. What I mean, and feel free to reference an actual event that, you know, exemplifies the way they do this, whatever it might be.
Well, for example, getting back to when you said they told people not to come to work, right? So, well, I mean, one of it was Jews, right? I mean, it was particularly Jews. Jews knew not to come to work. There was some special tele, you know, like channel into not internet, but something back in the that they had in the day. There was some channel that, you know, Jews knew not to come into work, right? Or you could say any people you know, or other people might have understood it was just some people got forewarning. Well, the reason that we're told some people got forewarning is to make the disbelievers that selected people s were spared death and injury, right? Selected people, but Everyone was, because they evacuated. You know, if there were people in the buildings, they were evacuated before it happened. You know, I'm sure they minimized the number of people going into the buildings, but they, so yeah, so yes, so there's so much propaganda for 9/11 to the anticipated disbelievers. I mean, they make their story completely ridiculous, right? So they know people are going to disbelieve it. I mean, that is anticipated, you know, and so they just have all this propaganda targeted to the dis, you know, so for 9/11, they've got all the Israel did it, right? So even when I believed the Israel propaganda, even when I believed the five Israelis and the explosive dust and all that, I just kind of thought, well, no, Israel couldn't have really been responsible. You know, they might have had their operatives bring the buildings down, or, but they couldn't have been responsible for it. And was still under the auspices of the US, you know, rogue elements within the US government. Like, but I mean, the amount of propaganda that is pushed out, like Israel did it, is unbelievable, you know, and like, and people believe it, you know, like, I mean, I believed it, but it didn't make me believe that Israel did it, because I realized, you know, Israel couldn't have had much to do with the planes, you know, they didn't have much to do with the planes, and whatever they had to do with it, they weren't, they couldn't have been responsible, you know. And anyway, every man and his dog was in on 9/11. Okay. I mean, John Howard was in Washington on the fateful day.
For anyone who
He
doesn't
was.
know, that was the Australian Prime Minister at the time.
Yeah. Right. But, so, John Howard, I guess what happened in Australia, right? So, in August 2001, we had the Tampa, you know, the refugee boat. Then there was 9/11 in September. And then in November, we had the Children Overboard refugee boat. Those three events were coordinated. I mean, those two boats were coordinated around that, around 9/11. They had three events: August, September, November, election. And there's a film made called Leaky Boat by Screen Australia, Screen West. And that film, underneath the propaganda, tells you that those two boats were staged. I mean, there were lots of leaky boats. I mean, I was in contact. I was a pen pal for an Afghan refugee in Port Hedland Detention Centre, and he was on a leaky boat. And I know there were leaky boats. They were horrific. You know, there was, you know, people had terrible journeys, and you know, the refugee. You know, refugees coming in boats was, you know, a very scary and horrible thing for them, and especially when they get here, put in detention camps. But those two boats were not real. Those two boats were staged.
And so you said they were coordinated around the 9/11 event. So I,
Yeah.
for the sake of the audience and my own curiosity, we have to ask why? What was the point of coordinating all of that?
Well, there's a political analyst interviewed in this film Leaky Boat, and he says when there's times of like in these times, like with the terror, like with the terror thing, the incumbent is always favored. People get scared, you know, people get scared, and it favors the incumbent. So when people are fearing that their borders are being pushed, and you know, there's terror and all that, this favors the incumbent, and John Howard was already in power, and so they wanted him in back in, because he was going, you know, obviously the Liberal Party was going to be more favorable for us to support the US in Iraq than the Labor Party. But you know, that must have been what they worked out. They worked out that at that time, the Liberal Party, even though I think Kim Beazley was in on those boats. I think Kim Beazley was. Yeah. Well, you know, his dad was in the CIA. You know, he was a CIA person, right? And so Kim Beazley was the leader of the opposition, and he's shown in this leaky boat, and he says it like he was supporting, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he was in support of the Liberal Party taking the measures that they did with these votes. He was in on it. And I think he got a nice plum job, you know, as ambassador or something like in America or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, he did pretty well for himself, I think. Yeah.
They're all
So,
in on it. They're
yeah.
all in on it.
What, speaking of people being in on it, there's a few places I want to go here, but the psychological side of it, for me is probably the most interesting aspect, I think, of all of this, like the psychological layers of it. Do you have, say, for the different types of people, the different types of disbelievers out there, do you have names for different groups or, subgroups of the population? Or is it just more of a something you've noticed there's different dynamics, different streams of propaganda for different people? Like, for example, like if we look at COVID, right, we had the obviously the mainstream narrative, which we know is complete horse poop. And then the second tier or the backup narrative was the gain of function. Something got out, which is obviously designed to reify the ludicrous, that it happened and the people died and all this sort of nonsense. Now, and then the first objection is obviously people go, oh, people were dying and I was sick and, blah, blah, blah. But the point of that was to reify the idea of the pandemic and that the thing was happening as their narrative suggested, which we know is absolute garbage. But when we look at that, like the mainstream narrative, okay, so the normies buy that, then you have the gain of function for the people who are a little bit more clued up, a little bit more skeptical. And then, whatever comes after that, like are there names for this type of stuff, or how do they have an approach that you've identified, or that you've got a framework of your own?
Actually, it probably would be a good thing to work out names, you know, try to identify groups. I mean, the thing is, because I what I learned from 9/11, as soon as COVID hit, I knew immediately there was no virus, not because of any knowledge about viruses whatsoever, or that people were saying that viruses had never been proven to exist. I knew none of that. I still believed in that. I was still pretty very conventional, you know, medical wise, even though I was open to alternative stuff, you know. And but I just knew immediately there wasn't a virus, only because I'd learned from 9/11 they do what they want for real and they fake the rest. And I knew they didn't want a virus, they only wanted us to believe in one. And it wouldn't have been, even if viruses existed the way I thought they did, it wouldn't have been practical. You know, practicable for a virus, you know what I mean? Even if they existed the way people thought they did, you know. So I knew there was no virus. And then I knew that they were going to have streams of propaganda to bamboozle the disbelievers. So as soon as I heard biolab, I knew that was propaganda. And, you know, the other propaganda is, well, there is a pandemic, but the measures are wrong, you know. So, but I mean, a friend of mine, as soon as she heard the biolab, she believed it, you know. Like, you know, so like dumb people, I shouldn't call my friend dumb, but like, I mean, I don't know. There's a sort of a gravitation to the second level propaganda, whatever it is, you know. There's people, they kind of, I you know, like to be a good analyst of psyops, you need to be able to turn your thinking a hundred, you know, you know, just like that sort of thing. You like everyone we anchor in belief, right? I mean, that's a cognitive bias that we tend to anchor in beliefs. The first thing we hear, we tend to believe, you know. And if it's not the first thing and it's the second thing, then maybe the second thing we hear is the thing that we really anchor in. That's just human nature to anchor in belief.
I feel like also with that, part of the reason for the success of these types of strategies is because people inherently have a tough time grappling with the possibility they've been lied to on that level, that scale. Like, so even the people who are kind of like the in the truther crowd with a superficial understanding of, say, health, medicine, whatever, they go to the tier two narrative of gain of function, lab leak, nonsense, because they still can't get their heads around that the level of deception is so intensive and so monumental. That seems to be a part of it anyway for me.
Yeah, well, the big lie, like Hitler said, we're told that Hitler said it in Mein Kampf, right? He said the big lie works better than the small lie.
Right, yeah, because people can't
And he
convince
wasn't the only one that
people
knows
to.
that, you know?
No, he's not the only guy who followed that playbook, no.
Yeah. So, yes, it is harder to comprehend the massive lie. Yeah. And so people anchor in their beliefs. And the thing is, I think we all do. It doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter, we do, but I always allow, I mean, I tend to allow for something else. Like I'll park it. I'll go, oh, okay, really? Is that really? But I won't say no. I won't immediately go, no. You can park the idea and come back around to it. You know what I mean? But people are just not intellectually honest. They're not intellectually honest. They don't follow the rules of critical thinking. And I do as much as I possibly can. I follow the rules, and they just don't do it, most people, they're not ruth, and another thing is you kind of have to be, how they say it takes one to know one. You kind of have to be a bit like those in power. You kind of have to think a bit like them. You have to have a sense of ruthlessness. Like you can't get all caught up in little babies with blood on them, Like in Giza, I mean, I admit that I just don't even look at it because I just think, oh my God, I don't want to have to try and figure out what's true and what's not, But I know that they are faking some of those babies, some of the children, they've got, there's an analyst on BitChute. He's called Fake Nukes. That's his channel, Fake Nukes. And he analyzes these children. These videos, and it's a horrible thing to do. He's a good analyst, but he's a little odd. And I think he thinks that Hitler was a good guy. So I don't understand that. But he's very good at analyzing these Giza videos. And I mean, they're destroying Giza.
We're talking
Like
about
they're just,
Gaza, yes?
oh, Gaza. Sorry, Giza. Gaza. Sorry. They're destroying Gaza. But they're not doing it the way they're showing it to you. They're not, because that's what they always do. They're very happy to push out bad things against themselves. That's another thing that people find very counterintuitive. It is counterintuitive, but it works for them. They push, they'll push out something really bad against themselves to distract you from what the bad thing that they're really doing, So they're expelling people from Gaza. They're expelling them. They're using the Abraham Accords, which I don't really understand all that well, but that's deals that they're doing with neighboring Middle Eastern countries. And they're expelling them, but they're not killing them the way they're showing it to you.
Well, it's interesting, you say that because I mean, with things like Instagram, right? We have access, and anybody who has a phone in Gaza has internet access until they don't, I guess. And I've even without trying, I'm inundated by these people in Gaza or other parts of Palestine, northern Gaza. They've been pushed up here, pushed out of there, videoing their situation and what's happening around them, what's being done to their town, their neighborhood, and just the carnage. There's so much of that. My point is, there's so much of that it would seem to me to be, I can't see the point of them faking on top of the obvious and sheer level of off the charts kind of carnage. Like, why would they go to the trouble of faking, like using a doll, the body of a doll next to the
Yeah.
body of a real child, when we can see, from thousands and thousands of gardens, the real-time destruction that's actually happening. I don't understand the point of that would be, really.
Well, I don't either, but they are definitely using rubber dolls and they're definitely faking it.
In
I
some
mean,
instances, right?
pardon?
You're
Well,
saying in certain instances they're staging certain things for
yes.
us
I mean, the thing
to
is
see.
they so that's interesting because, well, That's interesting because they faked that injury as well, right? So the one of the first people to supposedly be back injured was this 12-year-old girl, Maddie Degare. And when I saw her story, I thought that doesn't add up, you know? And so you sort of think, well, why would they fake vaccine injury if, you know, obviously there's real vaccine injury? They do it because they always like to control the narrative. They always like to control the narrative. So if anyone's getting injured, they want to tell you about it, you know, like, but not a real one, you know? So the real ones they don't tell you about. So that's interesting because I really should look at Gaza more. When I saw that they are faking the injury, I thought I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to be looking at stuff and thinking, is that real? You know, I just don't want to do that, you know. So it's interesting that you've seen, I mean, I, you know, some of it looks like it's candid, it's just from somebody with a mobile phone. It's not media shots, but you know, no doubt they aren't, no doubt there is real. No doubt there is real. Like just like they showed us fake vaccine because they want to control the narrative.
So I guess in a sense, like if aside from the actual real-time destruction, which anyone on social media can go and see, which is horrific, they can if they take the time and effort to stage something, then it's their opportunity to put their spin on it and to control the narrative
Exactly.
somehow.
Yeah. That's it. They're always controlling the narrative whether it's for them or against them. They want to control the narrative. And pushing out stuff bad against themselves works brilliantly for them. You know, like that's, see, that's where, 'cause normal people don't want to do that. You know, that's not normal, you know, humans like, you know, to present their best, make themselves look good, right? But those in power don't. That's not, you know, it makes them look more powerful when they kind of look big and bad and makes you feel helpless, you know. So.
So let's widen our purview of the psyops and the mind control and the propaganda. Just looking at my little list here. So
Can I just say one more thing about
yep.
9/11?
Oh yeah, please
So
do.
2 weeks ago, I realized, although Clues Forum, you know, Simon Schack worked it out back in 2009, the footage of the buildings coming down is also fake.
Okay,
So,
so the buildings came down, but the footage we got is fake. Is that what we're saying? Okay, please elaborate.
okay. So I saw this a couple of years ago, actually. I did see reference to it in Clues Forum a couple of years ago, but I just thought, oh yeah, that'd be right. Yeah, I can believe that. But I didn't really look at it. And then about 2 weeks ago, 2, 3 weeks ago, I looked at it. So it makes sense because if you're bringing down a very tall building, you would generally have, I think, you know, looking at other demolitions, you generally have explosives laid up all through the building, you know, like every however many floors. Okay. And then you have the telltale signs of the explosive material coming out at regular intervals. So MENA Plaza in Abu Dhabi was an incomplete complex of buildings that were brought down. And when you look at that, you can see that they've got the explosive material coming out regular intervals. So it would have just been really, really obvious, you know, if they had. So even though, say, Building 7 looks like a typical demolition, you know, in a lot of ways, it really feels, you know, feels like it. I would imagine they did have explosives set at, you know, and not just, it didn't just weaken at the base. They, you know, they had explosives elsewhere, right? And I think they give it away. Like they give it away that it's not genuine footage because they have the mechanical penthouse at the top, the HVAC, it crumples first and then the building comes down. But why would it crumple separately to the building? You know, if the building's only weakening at the bottom, then we expect it to move as one piece, like the top of, you know, the mechanical penthouse, to just come with the building, not to crumple separately. So, and also Clues Forum have pointed out how the building seems to widen as it comes down, you know, like squashing toothpaste, squashing, chewing gum, you know. So they give it away that it's, you know, it's fake. And also with the Twin Towers, the footage is taken from so close up, you know, like nobody would be that close up to the building to take the footage, you know. And also there's footage from National Geographic where they show the Chrysler building just behind, sitting behind the Twin Towers. The Chrysler building is way up in Midtown, 50 blocks away. So if you look at a photo taken from World Trade Center now over the whole of Manhattan, you know, the Chrysler building looks like a tiny little speck in the distance. You can't really see it at all. You know, it's just a speck in the distance, right? So it's their little peekaboo revelation of the method. They've got this Chrysler building sitting behind the Twin Towers. Also, when the Twin Towers come down, as they come down, the vantage point changes to around the corner because you can see that the South Tower changes position in relation to the North Tower. So it's like, why would you change the van? You know, I mean, obviously it's edited, but like it's cut, but why would there be someone around one corner filming it and the other person around the, you know, and why didn't they just show the footage all the way down from one vantage point? Why would they change vantage points halfway down? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
as you build, you're talking about as the building's falling.
Yes, as the building, you know, midway, like 2 seconds, 3 seconds into the collapse, it changes.
Right. Yeah, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just show it in its complete entirety?
So I can see reasons why. I would think that they actually toppled, so that it looks like they're coming straight down and the debris is going out in a radius all around the buildings, right? But to me, they wanted to destroy the whole of the World Trade Center. And if they evacuated it, which I'm sure they would have, right, the whole of the World Trade Center, they would have tipped the buildings into the center rather than having to worry about a much bigger area, you know, like because, you know, if they were doing it radius, you know, in a radius sense, you know. So if you look at the MENA tower, one of the tallest one, when it comes down, they actually bring the top of the fort, you know, the top stories, they bring them down and they topple in a certain direction, you know. So I would have imagined that they would have toppled those buildings into the World Trade Center, and they wouldn't want you to see that.
No.
They wouldn't want you to see that. So it dupery works better. It just works better, you know.
Yeah. Do you think when they had, I remember Larry Silverstein being on camera and saying, you know, we made the decision to pull it. Do you think that's part of the propaganda strategy for the disbelievers?
Yes, but it's ridiculous because he never would have said to pull it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's not a slip of the tongue.
No,
You know, so it's propaganda, but what we really know it is just revelation of the method.
Right.
They're just giving it away. But the thing is, it's not like it would have really happened, you know.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to the point of the revelation of the method being that, you know, these networks have to, they believe that they have to tell us what they're doing to us so that they're sort of karmically free or liberated from the consequences, so to speak? Or do you have a different take on that?
Well, I mean, you know, they can believe that themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and they can say that. But the thing is, if it didn't work, they wouldn't do it. And, you know, if people went, hey, you know, then they wouldn't do it, right? And secondly, I think it actually works better. See, that's the thing. It's not just that they can get away with it. It actually works better because when people agree to nonsense, as soon as you give them a bit of nonsense and they agree to it, they've kind of dumbed themselves down, you know. They've made themselves dumb by accepting nonsense. So you've actually got better control over them.
Yeah.
You know. So they can say that, but first of all, they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. And second, if they could get away with it. And not only can they get away with it, it actually works better. So that's my take on it.
I
But
mean,
I mean,
go ahead.
no, I was just going to say, they certainly don't pull any punches. I mean, they really go to town. You know, and I can't help laughing myself. Like, I think it's funny. Like, my sister, she just goes, oh, it's all lies. It's all lies, you know. And I just find it hilarious. Like, when I saw that Chrysler building, I just thought that was hilarious, you know. And I think, oh, like, I'm just like, they think it's funny and I think it's funny. I don't want to have share that in common with them, but you know, I do find those things funny.
I get you though. I mean, there's so much about Clownvid 19 is the most classic example to me anyway, because the absurdity of the whole thing was so off the charts that it was actually comical, and a lot of it was really comical. Like when you have, I forget the guy's name, there was this American politician sitting at the bench, with the microphone doing a press conference, and he's sitting there going, "You mean if I go and get this thing in my arm, I get to eat these delicious French fries and this, this burger. If I just, all I have to do is like get the thing in my," and like, I'm just going, "What planet am I on? This is insane." It's insane. And if you don't laugh, you cry.
But do you think he believed it? I mean, do you think he was in on it or?
The thing with me, right? I think that a lot of the people in the system are as gullible and stupid as the people outside the system. Like they are just the dumb people who went through the levels of the system, getting groomed in this thing or this line of work or that line of work. Like politicians are some of the most brainwashed, brain dead people on the planet. I mean, it's very possible he believed what he was saying. Like, I mean, he might have thought it, he might have known that it was a lie or incorrect or whatever, but it's so plausible that so many of these low-level people are actually just as fooled. Like the medical profession is so duped. They're so duped. They honestly think that injecting that stuff is helping people and helping themselves. I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah. And yes, I know. I keep looking at how they're still recommending the vaccine. And I'm kind of like, what? I just can't believe it, you
I
know?
know.
So yeah, with 9/11. So, I mean, what I don't understand is why it took me so long to get that the buildings were faked when it's there on Clues Forum. I've looked at Clues Forum. You know, and I did actually even realize it 2 years ago that it was said about them, the footage that it was, you know, faked. But that's kind of, it's just interesting how information can be so readily available and, you know, and then when you try to tell people, like if someone had sat me down and said, hey, the footage was faked, then I would have gone, yeah, okay. And, you know, you've explained it to me. I get it, right? But you sit down and try and explain they didn't kill people on 9/11, and people just refuse. They just refuse to. They're anchored. They're anchored in that belief that the you know the dastardly U.S. government, you know, the cool and cold-blooded, left those poor people to die in the buildings. You know,
And so,
even though it really makes no sense. Pardon?
right. When we see stuff like, there was footage of people, jumping from floors out of the buildings.
Yeah.
So this, you're saying this is all fake. This is staged. What's going on with
Yeah.
this stuff?
CGI. Yeah.
CGI.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I believe that that level of
Or
technology
they
is possible.
threw, you know, dummies or whatever. Yeah.
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 What about, I mean, there's a part of me that's always got in that, I've got that voice in the back of my head going, there could be someone watching this going, "I lost somebody that day," or "What are you talking about?" Like, and I wanted to ask you, there's like that memorial kind of shrine at the, on at Ground Zero, hundreds and
Yeah.
hundreds of photos and
Yeah.
all this sort of stuff. So what do you make of
Yeah.
that type of thing?
Well, I mean, the thing is, I think people genuinely believe that they lost people on that day, right? But those people just disappeared. I mean, some people just want to disappear from their families, you know? So I would imagine, that some people really genuinely, well, certainly people who disappeared, but they're not going to tell everybody they know, right? So people know people who allegedly died on 9/11. I know someone whose insurance agent was supposedly in the building, right? And I don't believe it, right? And I know other people who know people, they know people who allegedly died. And in other events in Australia, like there was a bus accident in the Hunter Valley, and that looks completely staged to me. And I know someone who's, I mean, I know people who went to people's funerals, and that doesn't make it real, So
So I'm curious because if we're talking about the 9/11 stuff, like, and we know that there are at least people who, like you said, have said I've lost somebody that day. If that person, is not there anymore with them, but you're saying they weren't in the building, I mean, how are they disappearing? It seems a bit kind of,
oh, how are they disappearing?
yes, how are they being made to disappear? Because I've got this other tangent going about Rebecca, what's her name? I've forgotten her last name. She wrote like a fictional series about 9/11 where she was encoding her research into this sort of fictionalized narrative, but trying to like truth in fiction, right? Rebecca, it'll come back to me, hopefully.
Roth or something like Roth.
Yes, thank you, Ross.
She's a controlled opposition agent.
Okay, right. But okay, so but getting back to how do we make these people disappear? It seems like a lot of people disappeared coincidentally on the same day, and we're saying that they weren't in the buildings. I'm like, I'm not going to want to put this case to the families, like, you know what I'm saying?
I would say most of the the families that they show us, they're all actors, right? They're not genuine families,
There's
okay?
definitely we know there's definitely actors and crisis actors, so I'm not going to deny that. Yeah.
So, I would just say that if someone genuinely lost someone, like the person disappeared and didn't tell them, I'd just say, well, I'm sorry, that person has just decided they want to disappear from you. There's the comedian, oh, he's an actor and comedian, Greg Fleet in Australia. I think he's originally American, but he's based in Australia now. His father faked his own death. This is separate to, he faked his own death and he believed he was gone. And then he turned up, 10 years later, and he hadn't moved very far away, actually, So, I don't, all I know is that for the Challenger disaster, which was another psyop, all the people are still walking around with their same name.
Right.
And the funny thing is, the fact checkers have said, oh no, they're not the same people, right? They've shown the photos and they say, oh, they're not the same people. But they clearly are the same people. They've got very, and there's six of them that are still alive. I think there were seven, and there are six that have been identified as, still alive, same people, same name. They didn't even bother to change their names.
Right.
So, they don't care too much. So with 9/11, there's witness protection programs, right, for people that need to disappear, to, and they can have things like witness protection programs, and they don't even have to worry too much. I mean, with a witness protection program, you really want to make sure that the person who might want to, kill you or whatever can't find you. Whereas if you've just been a crisis actor, if someone sees you, it's still alive, what are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
Hey, police, this person's still alive, go to the media. I mean, there's
Yeah.
nothing they can do, right?
No.
So, and I know someone who, like, this was a very minor incident that, I'd never heard of in America, where a woman was supposedly killed by a car bomb. And he said he looked her up and found that her name was still in the phone book years later in the same area. So,
Yeah. And I got to acknowledge at the same time, I talk about, these families and whatever. At the same time, I only have the secondhand information that's been presented to me through, I guess primarily controlled media outlets. So I don't know to what extent any of that's legitimate or real or not real. It's obviously it's part of the narrative that there were, 3,000 people I think died and therefore hundreds of families affected and all this sort of stuff. I can't verify that personally, but I see these images and the, parts of the story. It's like, Well, okay, let's talk about the memorial stuff. How much of the memorial is legitimate versus staged by crisis actors and people who, are part of this or, whatever the case may be. It's an interesting one. I'm kind of like a little bit, that to me is more of a gray area. But I also, when you talk about the buildings not being brought down the way that they advertised, I remember seeing footage not recently, a while back, of, the planes supposedly hitting the buildings, right? And you can see in the footage that there's, as it's analyzed in slow motion and stuff, it actually is CGI. It doesn't look right. It's clearly there's stuff, physically impossible stuff happening as the plane supposedly, goes halfway into the building and not a single crack in a window, this type of thing. Or the plane flies behind a building that it's supposed to be in front of, like there's glitches in the CGI that they've put out there. That kind of stuff is for sure.
Well, they don't try to make it real. This making it as realistic as possible is not their aim, at all. And in fact, there's a little clip of someone comparing the plane going into the tower in the Medusa Touch, which was a film from 1978. Obviously, some predictive programming going on there, and compared to the 9/11 plane. And it says the Medusa Touch plane obeyed crash physics better than the 9/11 plane. Like there's debris, there's deceleration. The plane stops when it gets, it collides with the building. It doesn't, you know what I mean? So there's no attempt that there's never any great attempt for realism. That's not what these events are about,
Right. Well, let's go into maybe I'm probably going to have to wrap up kind of soon, but maybe we can finish with a little bit of the sort of moon landing stuff. I think this is an interesting one because there most of the truther community has already absolutely decided, with high degree of certainty that this didn't happen. Nah, end of conversation. And I've seen a lot of, again, I did the deep dive on this many years ago, so I'm not fresh on it at all. But I've seen a lot of stuff that, NASA fakery in general. Let's just say NASA fakery. We know they manipulate photos and film the astronauts supposedly in lunar or not lunar orbit, low Earth orbit in anti-gravity when they're obviously not. It's just staged. So there's a lot of fuckery and fakery that goes on, which I do not deny at all. But you're making the case, despite the overwhelming, zeitgeist in the truther community, that the moon landings actually did happen. So I want to have this conversation.
Okay, well, after 9/11 and Sandy Hook, a friend, a disbeliever friend, he said, check out the moon landings now, and I said, okay. So I read Wagging the Moon Doggy by Dave McGowan, which is kind of, the moon hoax Bible kind of thing, and I found it very compelling. But then I thought, well, I need to start looking at the evidence myself. So I started looking at the evidence, and when I got to the communications between the astronauts and mission control, I mean, just immediately, like I only listened to about 2 minutes of it. I just thought, oh, this is authentic. I mean, it just sounds so authentic. It's kind of boring because, you had to be there. Like, you could not get astronauts to sit around in a studio recording this sort of very kind of innate, it sounds innate. I mean, it's
Seamless.
not. They're on the moon, but I was just convinced, I wasn't totally convinced by the audio, but I just thought this seems very authentic. And whenever I say to people who don't believe the moon landings, including my identical twin sister, they just wave their hand dismissively and, oh, that could be faked. That could be faked. And the thing is, we are misled into believing that anything can be faked, right? Because they do it all the time. And it can, anything can be faked, but being faked without detection is a completely different matter.
This concludes part one of the show. You'll find part two and related materials in my members-only portal, the Truthiversity, the consciousness-raising university. This creation is the official home for all my multimedia research and entertainment content. Updated regularly, my members get access to absolutely everything I create, including full podcasts, videos, blogs, courses, audio files, live internal events, the whole enchilada. Grab yourself a free 24-hour pass at access.truthiversity.com.